Before I start, let me get a show of hands. We're all here part of CERT. I'm also a CERT member out of Torrance. But how many of us belong to some other group as well? Red Cross, Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, ARES? Okay, good. As a volunteer, we're donating something valuable. We're donating our time and our energy to go out and help these other groups, ultimately to help the community. It's a big responsibility. You owe it to the community, but you owe it to yourself to make sure that you stay safe whenever you're out in the field. Whenever you're out for any CERT activation or any DCS activation or any other group, you're the most important thing out there. You're the most important asset, the most important tool that organization has. And that's what tonight is for, is to help give you some information to help keep you safe out in the field. Yes, this all relates to CERT and all your other response groups, but this will help you. It's coming into summertime, folks. The last few years, remember what summer was like? Those hot, hot, dry spells? We're going to get it again this year. So this information will help you manage your body's reaction, your body's response in that environment. A little bit about myself, my background. I'm part of the U.S. Air Force Auxiliary Civil Air Patrol. I focus primarily on public information, media relations, public affairs. Our organization, we're also search and rescue. 95% of all inland search and rescue missions in the U.S. are handled by volunteer members such as myself. So my background also encompasses search and rescue, emergency medicine. I used to be an EMT ambulance attendant down in Orange County a number of years back, and I keep my certification current for search and rescue. I also am very active in disaster management, disaster response, and planning groups. So my background's pretty wide, pretty varied. My day job, what time I have left for one, 17 years, April Fool's Day, with the LA County Sheriff's Department as a public safety dispatcher. So what we're going to talk about tonight, I've put this program together for a different search and rescue group. I want to give you knowledge that you can help keep yourself, your family, your friends, your team members safe. All the information I'm going to talk about tonight is all standard information. This is what the firefighters learn. This is what the police officers learn. This is what the EMTs learn. This is all solid information that's common in the emergency medical services community and the search and rescue community. But I do want to give you guys a disclaimer. If you think you're ever having any type of medical issue, maybe because you're working too hard in the heat or any reason at all, don't hesitate to seek help. Don't hesitate to call 911. If you're doing a CERT event and they've issued you out radios for the event, jump on the radio, call for help. Never discount any thought you might have that you need medical assistance based on what you're going to learn here tonight. If in doubt, go ahead and call. Summertime. Summertime, temperatures rise, humidity drops, it gets hot, it gets uncomfortable. Can the heat kill? Do people die in the summertime? You bet they do. This is in one summer, 3 years ago. In one summer alone, a couple of these examples I go over with. A 26-year-old guy's an outdoor hiker, camper, off-road cyclist, dune buggy rider, was out in the desert riding his dirt bike with friends. Bike broke down. Friends needed to go back to camp, bring the pickup truck out. The plan was load the guy's motorcycle in the truck, take it back, and finish their weekend. He didn't want to leave his bike, so he stayed out with his bicycle, his motorcycle. They came back about 4 hours, actually about an hour later, he was dead. Talking to his friends, what happened to him? Did he have a medical condition? No, in good health, used to being outdoors, hasn't been drinking that weekend. Soda, iced tea here and there, but wasn't hydrating himself. His body really wasn't ready to be out in the heat. Took an hour. A 30-year-old scrap metal yard worker died on the job. They found his body dead out in the yard. Co-workers had the same observation. It was hot, he was working hard, doing a lot of physical activity, but he wasn't hydrating, he wasn't putting the fluids in that he was sweating out. 47-year-old, out near Baker, California, the edge of Death Valley, off the 15. Her car broke down, her friends went to go get help, left her in the car. They came back a few hours later. She was also dead. No water, no food. Leave the car. You're more valuable than the car. I don't know why she stayed with it. 42-year-old was found unconscious behind a gas station in Calexico, trying to cross over the U.S. border, dead behind a gas station, didn't have any fluids with him. So I ask you, Does being in the summertime, does being in the heat, can it hurt you? Yes. Can it kill you? Yes. I'll add one more to this. Luckily, the gentleman survived it. How many are familiar with Baker to Vegas, the law enforcement relay race? For those that haven't heard of it, it's a foot race. It's open to law enforcement nationwide, actually worldwide now. It starts in Baker, California, the edge of Death Valley, and it runs through Death Valley. The back road basically follows the back highway into downtown Las Vegas. It's 120 miles, and the guys run it in legs. It's done as a relay race. They do it end of April. Naturally, the runners, they go down. They had over 50 aero medical evacuations. These are the runners who heat stroke out during the race. But look what they're doing. They're running in 120-degree desert, and they're running hard. How about some of the civilian volunteers? We had some medical emergencies with the civilian race volunteers. At my stage number two, 15 miles into the start of the race, a gentleman I was working with, also a ham radio volunteer, wasn't feeling good. He was exhibiting a lot of the signs and symptoms of dehydration, heat-related medical illness. We had the medics come over, check him out. Okay, he's dehydrated. Get him some Gatorade, get him into the motorhome where it was nice and cool and air-conditioned. He was feeling better after a couple hours. The stage closed, everyone started leaving. He started feeling even worse. The medics had already packed up and left. So he had to be transported about 12 miles away down to the next stage, which had already closed, and they took him to the next stage down the race. Took one look at him, and he spent 2.5 days in the ER in Pahrump, Nevada. Heat stroke. The heat stroke also exaggerated another underlying medical illness condition he didn't even know he had that could have just as easily killed him. So we talk about, can the heat in the summertime kill you? Don't underestimate it. You bet it can. So how many of you are part of a local search and rescue team or support some other agency? Or how many of you just go out camping, hiking, horseback riding, trail riding, any outdoor summer activity? This information will be for you. 2006, in the summertime, we had a two-week period in July. 164 people in California died. The cause of death, heat stroke. They were out doing whatever they were doing. Some of them were doing yard work. Some of them were doing cycling in the local mountains, camping, hiking. They got too hot. They died of heat stroke. A couple of years later, California Department of Public Health did a big study. They didn't think those numbers sounded right. So they started researching the medical history of these patients. What'd they find? Almost 655 cases in California in one summer died from heat stroke, from getting too hot in the summertime. Also, they had 16,000 heat-related emergency room visits. Why? The people weren't hydrating, they weren't taking care of themselves. They got too hot, they pushed themselves too hard, they ended up being treated in the ER from it. During this summer heat wave, 11 counties had triple digits for 5 days. 63% of the state was in the triple digit range. Wasn't just here in California. Pierre, South Dakota, 120 degrees. How many of you have been in that type of temperature before? It's not fun. It just drains, saps the energy right out of you. You can't do anything. You're just done. This is California summer. And as disaster volunteers, as emergency responders, remember those big forest fires a few years back? The Station Fire, the Catalina Fire? Members of groups like this, we were involved in those fires. We're not on the fire line wearing breathing tanks and full turnout gear. We're back at the command post. It's just as hot back there, folks, and we're running around doing physical activity. We need to learn how to prepare ourselves to be in that environment, to be a good, safe responder. That's what we're learning here tonight. New York City, 102 degrees. On July 17th, every state in the U.S., except for three, were at or above 90 degrees. That's a pretty big nationwide heat wave. This has been the trend the last 10, 12 years, is elevated summertime temperatures with these short spikes, 15, 20, 30 degrees higher than normal temperatures. Welcome to California. Welcome to global warming. 2011, the first real hot weather event. Look at some of these numbers. USC, on March 31st, normal for the USC area is 66 degrees. Actually, normal 71 degrees. 2010, a little bit cooler than normal, 66 degrees. But for this one heat day, this one heat event of 2011, it was 92. That's 21 degrees above the normal temperature. 10 degrees even more than the previous year. So we're going to have, this is going to be our summer, short, really tall, high spikes of heat periods. These are when the forest fires happen. These are when we do our family outing events. This is when we do our CERT training. This is what we need to be prepared for. You need to understand a little bit about how your body works, a little bit about your physiology, so you can know what to do and how to take care of yourself. Let's start with the obvious, water. Water is 60% of your body weight. Water is the liquid part of your blood. It's the liquid part inside your cells. That water carries nutrients from your body into your cells. It carries waste products out of the cells through your body to the outside world. And water also helps eliminate the acid and the buildup products from your muscles, from your body working. Some of you are taking notes, I see. Put your notes away. You won't need them. I've got a handout for you at the end. So, yeah, we'll keep this interactive in the handouts. You'll have everything you need in the handouts. But more importantly, in a hot environment, water in your body helps regulate and stabilize body temperature. If you don't have enough water fluids coming in, your body suffers, yes, but your body also can't regulate its own temperature, which is why people have the heat exhaustion, the heat cramps, the heat stroke. Water also helps your body digest, absorb, and break down so you can get the vitamins, minerals, and nutrients out of your food. So water does a lot. It's important. But water is so underestimated. The water carries electrolytes throughout your body. It carries the sodium, the salt. Carries calcium, potassium, magnesium. You've seen the Gatorade commercials, when they talk about Gatorade has it inside. That's what the Gatorade brings. It brings these electrolytes, these chemicals that your body needs to function. Your muscles, without adequate potassium levels, your muscles cramp up. Your muscles don't work as effective as they used to. Without adequate calcium levels in your body, your nerves don't talk to each other. Your nerves don't fire properly. Your judgment gets cloudy. Your brain doesn't function. How about the heart? Your heart is muscle tissue that's also nervous tissue. So if your electrolyte levels are off because you've sweated everything out and hasn't put the right things back into your body, your heart doesn't function properly. Your heart doesn't beat properly. How many of you have taken CPR in first aid class? We all know what happens when your heart doesn't beat properly on cycle and properly evenly. When you're out in the heat, your body needs to cool itself. Your body works like a gigantic car radiator system. For starters, all the blood vessels in your skin, your body sends a signal to the blood vessels. Your blood vessels dilate. They get bigger. So all the blood vessels under your skin will get bigger to carry more blood. The blood flow, your body will take blood flow, send more blood flow to the skin. Get all that hot blood from the center of your body's core, get it out to the skin where it can be cooled. With all that blood going to your skin, your body also shuts down the blood flow to your stomach, your intestines. Digesting your triple bacon cheeseburger versus cooling yourself, your body knows which choice to make. Your sweat pores will open, you'll begin to sweat. So all the fluid that you've been putting into your body during the hot environment, you're gonna sweat that out, which is what it should do. Now you've got all this hot blood just under your skin, a layer of sweat of water on top of your skin. The water evaporates, cools your skin, cools the blood. Now the cool blood circulates to your brain, your heart, your kidneys, your vital organs. Works like a giant radiator heat exchanger system. Part of keeping safe in a hot environment is know before you go. Know what you're going to be getting into before you put yourself in that environment. If it's a disaster call out at 2 o'clock in the morning and it's forest fire, brush fire season all weekend long, at least know what's expected, what's going to happen that weekend. So when you do get that call out, or when you do decide to pack up the kids and head to the mountains for a day of hiking, you know what you're getting into. Watch the news reports. When they talk about we're having a heat wave this weekend, your ears should perk up. Whenever you hear terms like heat wave on the news, start thinking, okay, it's going to be hot. My body's going to be working a lot harder than usual. I need to take extra steps, which we'll cover a little bit later on, extra steps to keep myself safe in that environment. Different news stations and different regions of the U.S. call heat waves by different names. In one part of the U.S., 48 hours of high heat, high temperatures. They'll call that a heat wave. Here in the southwestern part of the U.S., we use a more correct definition, where the daily maximum temperature for 5 days exceeds the average normal daily by 9 degrees. Well, that 2011 March heat wave we had, that was a heat wave right there. 20 plus degree above normal, that qualifies as the heat wave. Whenever you hear heat wave or Santa Ana wind conditions, be aware that if I've got to go out in that, what do I have to do to make sure I can go out in that and keep myself safe? You also hear in the news reports the heat index. They'll give you the temperature and they'll give you a heat index. Temperature is physically how hot the air is. The heat index is what your body thinks, how hot your body feels it is, based on a combination of temperature and humidity. How many have been to a really humid, humid state like Hawaii or down south? What happens there? It's hot. You're sweating, but the sweat can't evaporate because the air is already holding as much moisture as it can hold, so the sweat doesn't evaporate. So now the sweat can't evaporate, no evaporation, no cooling. It gets that, feels that much hotter. Or you go out Death Valley, out in our local desert here, it's not 90% humidity, it's 2 or 3% humidity. You sweat, it evaporates right away, cools you down, that's good. But you can sweat out all your fluids very easily. So heat index, remember, temperature is how hot it is. Heat index is how hot your body feels. Now go out and stand in the full sun. Your body thinks it's 15 degrees hotter than it really is, just from the extra radiation coming off the sun. If you're planning an event, you're trying to pick a campsite, or you're planning your command post for a cert exercise or a real cert activation, and you're at a school, where do you want to put your command post? On the blacktop, on the asphalt? Because that'll radiate the heat back out. Maybe a dirt field. Dirt field's good if you're going to be bringing in a lot of fire trucks, a lot of police cars. Okay, dirt fields also retain and reflect a lot of heat. How about grassy football field? The school will hate you for it, for digging up their dirt, their nice athletic grass, but being on grass will be a lot cooler than being on a dirt field or being on the asphalt. Remember, pick your command post properly. The higher the heat index, the higher your body thinks it is, the more danger you are, the more at risk you are for becoming a hot weather casualty. You hear the news talk about red flag warnings. They talk about the red flag fire dangers every year. And fire season, folks, is right around the corner. They've actually pushed back so it starts earlier in past years, and they go later on for the fire season. And again, it's right around the corner. So you're going to hear red flag warnings. Anytime the humidity is less than 15% with high winds for a six-hour period, they issue red flag warnings. That tells the fire folks, okay, in our local mountains where we have a history of brush fires, red flag danger, let's get extra personnel to that fire station. Let's bring in a couple extra trucks. Let's bring in more apparatus so when there is a fire, they've got more resources, they can hit it hard. So red flag warnings, that's great for the fire services. How does that keep us safe as CERT members, as community volunteers? Keep in mind, high temperatures, low humidity, and high winds. That'll make it harder for your body to function in that environment. If you're outside during a red flag condition, maybe you're working at a command post for CERT or some other group, you're going to have increased rapid fluid loss. Remember, you'll be hotter temperatures, lower humidity, you'll probably be doing more physically. So whenever you hear red flag, also your ears should perk up. You're at a higher risk of having heat-related issues. So what is a heat emergency? We know how your body works in the summertime. We know how your body functions. We know some of the signs to look for so you know that next weekend or tomorrow is going to be a dangerous day. But what is a heat emergency? Very simply, your body's reaction, a natural reaction to overexertion, dehydration, while in a hot environment. That's a heat emergency. If you push your body too far, then it becomes a medical emergency, and that's what can kill you if you're not careful. Heat emergencies can happen any time of the year. Obviously, summer months for heat emergencies, that makes sense. Hotter, more people are physically active in the summertime than in the wintertime. More people are outdoors doing things. They can also happen in the wintertime. As an EMT, we rolled to a call in the middle of winter. It was chilly, wet, rainy outside at a warehouse, manufacturing facility. The call was a heat stroke call. That can't be right. We get there, sure enough, it was a heat stroke call. The warehouse was probably 95 degrees plus, hot, dry conditions. I forget what type of manufacturing facility, but it was hot and dry inside. Coworker was working in the back part of the warehouse by himself, which was common. Friends went back to go grab him, go out to lunch, found him down, unresponsive. He hadn't eaten that day, it turned out. He hadn't really had anything to drink other than a couple sodas during the day, maybe some coffee first thing in the morning. And he would, that industry was very physically labor intensive. So he was lifting, turning, bending, stooping. He was doing a lot of physical labor. He sweated out what little fluids he had. When we got there, they had him stripped down to his boxer shorts and they were pouring the garden hose on him. Someone recognized what happened to him and was taking appropriate first aid steps to try to cool his body down. He was blazing hot to the touch when we got to him. He didn't make it. He died after we got to the hospital. Heat emergencies can affect all ages. The younger are especially at risk, the infants, because if they get too hot, they can't turn the air conditioning on. They can cry, they can make noise, they can fuss about something, but unless there's someone there to put them into a better environment, the younger are seriously at risk. The elderly are also vulnerable. The elderly, because as we age, your body senses things differently. Your body doesn't react to heat and cold the way a younger person would. So that's why you see elderly Alzheimer's walkaway patients from care homes, middle of summertime, cap on their head, scarf around their neck, bundled up two or three layers of clothing, because they feel cold. Their body is changing because of the age. Now you get an Alzheimer's walkaway patient, and CERT teams do get called for those in all the communities. Now you've got someone wandering in the summertime, bundled up, overheating themselves, and they don't have the mental faculties to take care of themselves. That's a recipe for disaster. The seasoned athletes, the trained athletes, the trained runners, like for Baker to Vegas, why were they dropping a heat stroke? Because they pushed themselves too hard. How about the weekend warrior? You spend all your time in the office, air conditioning, your car, air conditioning, your home, air conditioning. Now the first nice summer weekend, what are you gonna do? You're gonna go grab your mountain bike, head to the mountains. Your body hasn't acclimated to the summertime yet. These people also, the hikers, the first good weekend of weather, the hikers in the local mountains. Orange County just pulled two of them out of Tribeca Canyon day before yesterday and today. Prime example right there. There are four stages of heat emergencies. Dehydration, I'll bet you everyone here is dehydrated to some point already. And for most people, it's no big deal. Now, if we go out and do physical activity in the heat, and you start out dehydrated, it's only going to get worse. Dehydration, it's the easiest to prevent, it's the easiest to treat, and that's what we're gonna talk about tonight. If you go out and you push your body even further, you sweat away your fluids, you do a lot of physical activity in the hot summertime, the next stage is heat cramps. And they're just cramps of the muscles. If you're hiking, your leg muscles. If you're doing a lot of yard work, bending, stooping, lifting, your arms, your back, your shoulders will cramp up. That's your body's way of saying, listen to me, I'm uncomfortable. If you don't listen, and you continue pushing yourself, heat exhaustion is the next step. This is now a medical emergency. Your body's crying for help. You're unsteady on your feet, you're shaky, you might be nauseated, you might have already vomited. I've been severely heat exhausted due to my own stupidity of not taking care of myself. Believe me, it's no fun. The people that continue to push themselves and don't listen to their body, they don't stop, rest, they don't rehydrate, get the fluids back in, progresses to heat stroke. Brain death, brain damage is very common. Death is usually the end result. Heat stroke, 80% fatality rate. 80% of heat stroke patients will die from their medical injury. Out of the people, 20% that have lived, 13% of those will have a lasting neurological deficit. The heat cooks the brain cells, and they're gonna have a lasting permanent brain injury because they've overheated themselves. So what is dehydration? Dehydration is inadequate water intake to meet the body's needs. Your body needs fluids, you're not putting the fluids in, that's all it is. Dehydration causes fatigue, muscle weakness. You've all done physical activity, labor during the summertime. At the end of the day, you feel beat, you feel drained, wiped out. That's from dehydration. Decreased endurance. Halfway through the day, you're beat. Whereas on a cooler day, you can go out and do that same run, that same bike ride, and feel fine. You do that same run, that same bike ride in the hot summer, halfway through, you're done, you're dead, you're gone. Decreased mental efficiency. The more dehydrated you become, the less clear your thinking becomes. This is why people out hiking, they get themselves lost in a survival situation. This is why they make bad decisions. Partners, they split up, they go opposite ways looking for help. they do stupid things rather than trying to help themselves be found. They go hike deeper into the forest where no one can find them because they're dehydrated, their brains aren't functioning, they're making poor decisions. Impaired reasoning, bad decision making. The signs and symptoms for dehydration, obviously, fatigue, muscle weakness, decreased endurance. But also the key is you have a history of exertion in a hot environment. If you've been in a hot environment, you've been working out hard, and you have all these symptoms, yeah, you're dehydrated. You're an output. You're not peeing that much anymore. And what little you are peeing is bright yellow or dark yellow. Normal urine is not yellow. Normal urine is clear to very, very pale, pale yellow. The darker your urine, the more waste products your body's trying to eliminate, the more stuff is in it, which is good. That's what your body should do. But if you're only peeing a little bit and it's dark color, that means you obviously don't have enough water in your body to properly function, for your kidneys to function. Dehydration also causes headache and irritability. I get a certain type of headache when I know I'm dehydrated. I can tell exactly how far down I am by how my head feels. I've just gotten used to it. I know my body. I know what it tries to tell me, and I know how to listen to it so I don't become the casualty. So how fast can all this happen? A 170-pound male working, exercising moderately in hot weather, and that's a strenuous hike, is considered moderate exercise. You lose 3/4 to 1/4 of fluid each hour that you sweat. You lose fluid every time you exhale. You breathe out moisture from your body. You lose what's 1-2% of your body's fluid volume. 2% of body fluid volume loss can have adverse effects. Well, if you lose 1-2% every hour, it doesn't take long before your body starts to react to that. 1 hour of physical exertion and profuse sweating without putting fluid back into your body can decrease your physical and your mental performance by 25%. Go work an air show out in Barstow or Riverside, or go work one of the local fires in our mountains when it's 95 degrees and you're doing a lot of physical labor and you're out there 5, 6, 7 hours at a time doing this. How good are you going to be at the end of the day? You've put yourself at risk for one, but the people who are counting on you to be there for them, to help them, how good are you for those people? Prevention. Prevention is the cure. This is why dehydration is the easiest to treat. It's the easiest to prevent. Stay well hydrated. It's that simple. You should be drinking 8 to 10 glasses of water every day for proper health. I remember growing up as a kid, my mom always said 8 to 10 glasses of water. We all heard that. Drink before you're thirsty. By the time you realize, hey, I'm thirsty, I should go grab a soda now. By the time you get that signal in your brain, your body's already been thirsty for a while. It doesn't matter if water's in your stomach, your intestines. That's not where it's needed the most. Your cells, inside your cells, there's water in there. Your cells get thirsty. They'll take water from just outside the cell, bring water through the cell wall into the cell. Now your cell's happy. But now the spaces around all of your cells in your body, the fluid level is starting to drop. Your body doesn't like that. So your body will look elsewhere for sources of water. It'll start pulling water out of your blood. They'll start pulling water out of your digestive tract to put water back in between the cells to give the cells something to drink from to keep your cells happy. Once your body starts pulling water out of your blood, a little while later, your body says, hey, I'm thirsty. 15, 20 minutes, maybe a half hour later, drink when you're thirsty. This will help prevent you from staying dehydrated the whole time. You want to focus on prevention. You always want to keep putting fluids into your body during a hot environment. What should you drink? Water and a proper diet is the best choice right there. A properly balanced diet has all the electrolytes, all the calcium, potassium, sodium, magnesium, all the vitamins, minerals, nutrients that your body needs. Sports drinks, Gatorade, Powerade, those are all great. There's actually a couple other products that are wonderful. Powdered Gatorade mix. I keep these in all my response packs. These in a canteen of water, you've got just what your body needs to rehydrate, to refuel your body. You can also get little tablets. Aha, I got the one that's full. Little tablets. One of these in a quart of water, instant Gatorade. There's several companies that make these. All the electrolytes in just the right balance that your body needs to keep your heart functioning properly, to keep your nerves functioning properly. And for diabetics, these are sugar-free. Those of you who are diabetic, you know how hard it is to balance your medicine with your diet, with your physical activity. Now try doing all of that while you're out unloading disaster relief supplies at an airport, or while you're out hiking or bicycling. It can be a challenge. Products like this will help make that easier for you to get the sodium, the potassium, to get the electrolytes your body needs without dumping in all the sugars. Products like little Mio water flavor enhancers, these are good because they encourage you, by flavoring the water, they encourage you to drink more. Keep in mind, these aren't electrolytes. These are just purely flavor enhancers. I've got coworkers that can't drink water. They could drink anything with a flavor, but plain water, they just blah. They don't drink it. I've got coworkers that go through an entire 24-hour period with just a bare minimum of water, and they're always complaining of a lot of the signs and symptoms of being chronically dehydrated. So they'll use products like this. Now they can drink their water. But if you're looking for something for a hot weather event to keep your body going, plain water isn't enough. You need the nutrients. You need a good diet, and you can enhance it with things like Gatorade. Soda, coffee, iced tea, nice, cool, refreshing iced tea. Nothing wrong with these, but as your primary source of hydration, try to moderate it. Try to get some plain old, good old-fashioned water into your diet. Caffeine and alcohol are diuretics. Diuretics are chemical compounds that once they get into your body, they tell your kidneys, flush out all the water you can. So if you drink a big old jar of iced tea, your body is now being tricked into thinking, flush all the water I can and then some. The gentleman that we worked with at Baker to Vegas, we were all drinking all day long. We all had the cool wet rags wrapped around our head. We were all hitting the porta potties pretty much once an hour because we were putting so much fluid in. The gentleman was doing the same thing. He was drinking all day long with us. What happened? I didn't find this out until 2 or 3 weeks later. What was he drinking? We didn't know this, but he was an iced tea addict. He loved his iced tea. He was drinking iced tea all day long in 114, 115 degree temperatures. We were sitting in the shade under canopies, under awnings. We weren't doing physical labor, but the heat and the humidity and the fact that he was dehydrating himself while he thought he was putting fluids in, he was peeing it all out right away. That's what caused him to be dehydrated. So you might think you're doing all the things right, but choose your drinks wisely. They used to say salt tablets and salt water during the summertime. Does not work. Your body, if you take a glass of salt water, your body can't absorb the salt. Your body can't absorb the sodium. Your body needs a little bit of sugar to go with it. That's why Gatorade works. That's what they discovered. Mix a little bit of sugar, a little bit of carbohydrates, and the salt. Now your body can absorb the salt and all the electrolytes and the minerals that your body needs. If you're on a sugar, salt, or fluid-restricted diet, check with your doctor. They might have suggestions for you of what type of hydration fluid you should be drinking. Always ask your medical professional first. My search and rescue background, I think of missions, of activations, but this could apply to before your day of hiking or before your day of cert training or before your whatever. The day before the event, try to get an extra 6 to 8 glasses of some type of good, healthy fluid in. If you drink a lot of coffee, maybe add a little more water during your diet. If you live on sodas, I have coworkers, all they live on is sodas. Maybe cut back the day before and get some plain old tap water into your body. 2 to 3 hours before, you get up in the morning while you're having breakfast, getting ready to go out for the day's event. That morning, 2 to 3 more glasses. A glass is an 8-ounce glass, consider 8-ounce juice glass. So 2 to 3 glasses of good fluid that morning with your breakfast. Interestingly, the American College of Sports Medicine, they say 2 hours before exercise, you want to have 14 to 20 ounces of fluid, preferably a Gatorade-type fluid or some type of electrolyte drink, 2 hours before exercise. And they've proven this medically and through research. The search and rescue folks have been doing this for years. Extra 6 to 8 glasses a day before the mission, 2 to 3 hours before, 2 to 3 glasses. The SAR folks, we've been doing this for years until what the experts just a couple of years ago have said is what people should do. As you're waiting in the command post, ready to go out, or driving to your event, an extra 1 or 2 glasses of water. Keep in mind, again, a glass is 8 ounces. So it's not that much. This is 32 ounces, so that's not that much water to drink. It's not that hard. Remember, 8 to 10 glasses of water each and every day for proper health, which is 64 to 80 ounces. Two of these is 6 glasses of water. You can easily do this in a day. And I've done this for my coworkers. Keep track. Do it for 3 days, 4 days in a row. Keep track of everything you drink, of how much you're drinking, what you're drinking and how much. And then at the end of a few days, look at that. Are you drinking your 8 to 10 glasses of water every day? Surprisingly, most people don't. And for most people, unless you're doing physical labor in the heat, we can get by with less. But it's when you go out into emergency mode and your fluid tank is already at the halfway or lower point, and you go into disaster mode, that's where people get into trouble. If you're in a hot climate during our summertime, you want to be drinking more. If you're normally a physically active person, you should be drinking more. Look in the bowl again, urine color. You should be peeing a lot, and it should not be dark colored. Keep in mind some vitamins and some medicines will make your urine darker than normal. What's normal for you? Know what's typical for you, and as long as you're doing okay, you're obviously getting enough fluids in. Urine color and frequency is a good indicator. During the mission, during the activity, during the whatever you're doing, again, drink before you're thirsty. Drink small amounts throughout the day. Don't just drink your bottle of water at the halfway point and call it done. You want to drink throughout the day, throughout the event. You don't want to save your water for later. If you're thirsty now, drink now. As soon as you realize you're thirsty, your body's been screaming for water for a while. So as soon as you're thirsty, drink, have a few sips. Lost person people. Lost persons out in the desert, the missing hikers, missing campers, search and rescue folks, we find them all the time. The ones we find dead or close to it usually have full canteens of water. Oh my God, I'm out dirt biking and I got lost. I'm in survival mode. I'm going to save my water. If you're thirsty, drink what you have. If you're going out hiking, you're going out in an environment where it could be a survival situation for you, shame on you for not bringing enough water with you. These two hikers they pulled out of the canyon in Orange County, they didn't have a whole lot of stuff with them. One was in pretty bad condition medically from dehydration. They didn't go out with proper clothing. They didn't go out with food, water, proper supplies. If you're going out to do fun activities, keep it fun. Have the ability to purify water. Make sure you bring plenty of water, plenty of food with you. Don't go out in that environment because if something happens to you and you don't have any supplies with you, shame on you. The hotter it is, the more you exert yourself, the more you should be drinking. How about the day after? Sometimes during the event, it can be hard to keep up with your body's fluid needs during the event. It happens to all of us. I do it all the time myself, unfortunately. You can actually do a lot of good the day after. The sports medicine people, they say the same thing. The recovery after the physical activity is just as important as the prep work going into it. So the day after the event, rehydrate yourself. Remember your 8 to 10 glasses of water the next day? By all means, get the 8 to 10 glasses of water in. Maybe mix in some Gatorade or some type of sports drink in there. Replace the electrolytes that you've sweated away with your body fluids. The hotter it was, the drier it was, the more physically active you were yesterday, the more you should be drinking today, the day after the event. Go back to urine color and frequency. If the next day you're still peeing dark yellow, a little bit, a lot less than normal, your body is still dehydrated. Do we always remember to do this? Sadly, no. California Occupational Safety Health Administration, Cal OSHA, they did a big study back in 2006. There are certain job industries, job categories in California that hot weather and hydration is a serious concern. And they went back and they pulled an entire year's worth of on-the-job, job-related injuries and accident reports. And they were trying to correlate, are people getting hurt and having job-related accidents in some of these industries like construction, road work, agriculture, some of these heavy physical demand, hot weather job fields? Are they dehydrating themselves, leading to poor decision-making, poor judgments, and getting hurt? They did this huge study and found that, yes, dehydration is causing people to make mistakes. This study found that 96% of all these injuries, these people were medically dehydrated. not just a little bit thirsty, but they were really running low on body fluids and water. 96% of these people, just due to careless and not thinking about taking care of themselves. Drinking water was available 90% of the time at these job sites. Why weren't people drinking? Why were they working in the heat and not putting their fluids back in their body? Because we're lazy. That's the best way to answer it. It's human nature. If I'm doing an event or doing a hike or a trail ride or something, and my water's back in my car, and I've got to walk back to my car every time I get thirsty, am I going to want to do that? Probably not. I'm lazy. If it's inconvenient to drink on the move, if I have to keep stopping, take my backpack off, pull my water bottle out, take a sip, put everything back on, catch up with my friends on the trail, if it's inconvenient for me to drink on the go, am I going to do it? Probably not. I'll drink 3 hours from now when we all stop for our lunch break. Well, by then, I've sweated out a lot of other fluids. I've lost a lot of the electrolytes. I've allowed myself to get dehydrated. If carrying a water bottle or a canteen, if keeping your fluids with you is just a pain in your butt and you don't want to do it, you probably won't do it. What if you're in disaster mode? If you're stuck out in the field longer than expected, you're only going to be out there for a 4-hour shift, 5-hour shift, and you get held over. All your water's back in the car, and you're out in the field somewhere. That happens a lot. During the station fire a few years ago, myself and another dispatcher I work with, we were asked to go over to the Sheriff's Fleet headquarters building where they keep all the surplus vehicles and round up as many vehicles as we could find, gas them up, and get them staged because they were going to bring in a couple hundred deputies from the jails. They were going to take the cars. They're going to bust them in, take the cars, and they're going to go up and do neighborhood evacuations in the Santa Clarita, Lancaster, High Desert area. These deputies are getting off the bus. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. It was already in the high 80s, hot, dry, and windy. And about one out of every 10 deputies was out with a water bottle, was drinking. Good for them. How about the rest of these guys? They probably had a quick breakfast because there's going to be water at the command post, so they're going to take care of me. Why do I have to bring water with me? The sheriff's department's going to take care of me. They're going to get in the cars, and they're going to drive in caravan up to the high desert. Then they're going to be sign in and then be deployed for their neighborhood evacuations. The fire jumps over the ridge line. You're not going to go to the command post. You're not going to go pick up your water supply at the command post. You're now diverted. You're going to go that way. But I didn't bring water with me. You see where this is going, folks? Mm-hmm. If carrying it with you is a chore, if having to go back to your car is a chore, you're not going to do it. A lot of times we talk ourselves out of it. I'm really not that thirsty. I drank a lot yesterday. I'm only going to be out a couple hours. I'll be going home. I'll be home in an hour from now. I can wait till I get home. During a disaster, things change. You might have to be out in the field longer than expected. Your car might break down in the desert. Your motorcycle might break down in the desert. Now you're out there longer than expected. The trick is make it easy for yourself. A lot of great tools. Water bottles, duh. I keep 2 of these in my car filled with water all the time. Even a simple Arrowhead bottle of water. They fit in BDU. All the volunteer groups I'm part of, we all wear these military BDU pants. They fit in the pockets really easily. Word of advice, don't put these in your backpacks. These and sharp objects and a first aid trauma kit full of absorbent gauze, bandages, and is not a good combination. Even the proverbial, how many of you former military? Military canteens. These make it convenient, keep it with you. One of the groups I'm part of, the Air Force Auxiliary, we wear a military uniform because we are part of the Air Force. I wear a web belt with a couple of canteens when I'm working in an air show or a search and rescue mission. That way I've always got at least 2 quarts right accessible with me. I can put my backpack down, I still have water with me. Make it convenient, make it accessible. The best invention to make things accessible, and some of you I've talked to tonight already have these, Camelbacks. Hydration bladders. It's a bag of water. This one holds 3 liters of water with a drinking tube, a little bite valve. Throw this on your back, you've got 3 liters of water with you at all times. Cyclists love these things. The military also uses this product very, very heavily. couple extra pouches, pockets for your food, first aid, supplies, whatever you want to bring with you. You've got all the water you need in a day right here with you. If you have your own backpack or your own bags, you can also buy just the bladder and the hose assembly and a pouch to put it in. Strap it to the outside of your backpack, throw it in your backpack. This is 2 liters of water, 2 liters of fluid with you. Doesn't get more convenient than that. Note about water bottles. A water bottle that you have to twist off, sip, twist on, put back in your car seat as you're driving. Yeah, it keeps water with you. Try to find something that's one-handed with a flip-up valve. It might seem silly, it might seem lazy, but the Camelback company, they make the Camelback hydration bags. You can get those any sporting goods store, any surplus store, any outdoorsy type place. They've got name brand, they got knockoff brands. You can get them at all different price ranges. They also produce the Camelback water bottle. They did a study a few years ago. They went to a local university and they gave 200 students Camelback one-handed operation bottles and various other sports bottles that required two hands or different type of valve assemblies on them. And they were told for 2 weeks, actually no, it was a 2 month long study, keep track of how often you drink and how much fluid you consume in a day. The results came back. People consumed 30% more fluid, something, a one-handed product. Yes, it's product placement for them, but that shows human nature. Keep it convenient. If it's not convenient for you to do, you won't do it. So if I can just hand on the steering wheel and the other hand texting while driving, of course, pick up a bottle and drink, I'm more likely to drink and keep my fluids coming in than if I have to stop and do two hands to do my water bottle. It might seem silly, but anything that helps you to drink, helps you to do it, the better. Watch the weather report. Know what's happening tomorrow. Know what they're forecasting for next weekend, because you might be out in that environment. Know when you need extra caution. Listen to the weather reports. When they talk about heat index, red flag warnings, Santa Ana winds, those hot, dry, windy conditions, start thinking, okay, if I have to be out in that environment tomorrow or that weekend, make sure I bring snacks, make sure I bring extra water, make sure I hydrate myself well the day before the event. Know when you need to be prepared. Dress for the heat. If you have to wear a uniform that's all black or all dark blue, well, not too good. But when you're out doing your own personal stuff, long sleeve, light colored material, loose area materials will help your body cool itself. Wear a hat, use an umbrella, keep the sun off your head. Sunscreen, use it, definitely. Skin cancer in California is the leading form of cancer in California. Skin cancer. Go figure, we're the outdoors state. Also, from a cooling standpoint, remember how your body operates? The blood vessels enlarge near your skin, your sweat pores open, you sweat, the sweat evaporates, it cools your body. Sunburned skin doesn't sweat the same way. So if you get sunburned, every inch of skin is that much less cooling surface of your body. If I'm laying out by the pool and I burn my stomach and my chest, this is 18% of your body surface area right here. This is 18% less cooling surface that your body has available to keep yourself cool. Sunburned skin also heals more slowly if you're damaged. So if you're sunburned yourself and then you get a scratch or a cut, and out working disaster relief operations, you're already seeming to bump into things, get scratched. Sunburned skin, more easy to become infected. It heals more slowly. So use sunscreen. During the heat, stay indoors whenever you can. If you have air conditioning, that's great. Use it. Electric fans, just to let you know, electric fans are good. They don't cool the air, but electric fans get the air moving. So you've got drier air going over that moist skin. The sweat on your skin can then evaporate into the fresh air that's been blown across your skin. Electric fans are good, but they don't cool the air like air conditioning. During the day, eat smaller meals, eat lighter meals. Your body has to work hard to digest a triple bacon cheeseburger. During your hot weather activities, maybe cut back on the triple bacon cheeseburgers. Eat smaller meals, eat throughout the day. It's easier on the body to digest the food. Also, when you're in a hot environment, the blood that normally goes to your stomach and your intestines is being diverted to cool the body off. So it's now you've got a lump of lead sitting in your stomach. if you can, do your physical labor, your heavy lifting during the early morning and early evening hours when it's cooler. Avoid your strenuous activity during the hot part of the day. Middle part of the day, like they do in a lot of South American countries, they take siestas for the day, take it easy. Take regular breaks in a cool area when you're engaged in physical activity. Get inside, get in the shade, just get somewhere cooler than being outside. Slow down, rest, pace yourself. It might seem common sense, but these are the tips that keep people alive. These are the tips that keep you healthy and productive in the field. Fill your water bottle halfway up, throw it in the freezer the night before. Just fill it up the rest of the way in the morning. Now you've got cool water all day long. Warm water is just as good for your body as cold water. But warm water, you're less likely to drink. And if you're less likely to do it, it doesn't matter that you've got 10 gallons of warm water. If you're not going to drink those 10 gallons of water, you're not going to drink the water. Get nice, cool, refreshing water. You're more likely to drink it, the better off you are. Water sports. Water sports is still physical activity. You might be at the beach surfing all day, or maybe your kids and their friends are going to be at the beach surfing or in the pool swimming all day. They're still sweating in the water. They're still consuming water. They're still producing heat from the physical activity. They also need hydration. Water sports, you're going to be in the sun. You're going to be in the pool all day. So just because you're in the water doesn't mean you're safe from a heat emergency. For those of you who are team leaders or maybe going to plan an event, plan a family outing, or plan a CERT training event, a couple points for you to keep in mind. Have a hot weather safety plan. Are you going to provide water for your members? If not, you better make sure you tell them to bring their own water. Are you going to provide shade for your members? Find some place for them to hang out on their breaks so they can get indoors or even get under a tree or in the shadow of a building. But figure out a place where they can go to take a break. Monitor the forecast. You're planning an event 3 weeks from now. Keep an eye on the weather for the next few weeks so you know what that weather is going to be like the weekend of the event. Remind your members. Send them an email the day before. Let them know, bring fluids, bring light snacks, unless you're going to provide them. If you're going to provide them, let them know that as well. But remind your members to hydrate themselves. The day before, remind them, you know, try to get some extra water into your diet, folks. It's going to be hot this weekend for our event. Make sure you're well hydrated when you come out. And also remind them the day after, take care of yourself and rehydrate the day after the event. During the event, keep an eye on your people. Make sure they keep up with the fluid intake. Don't be the coworkers who let their friend go work in the back half of the warehouse because he always works there by himself and not check up on them. When you know it's a hot, physically demanding, dry environment, go check up on your coworkers. Go check up on your buddies. Schedule adequate rest breaks. If you're planning an event, build in rest periods to get people out of the heat, to get them a chance to cool down, relax, drink, and get them a chance to eat. Ensure they have shade available. And more importantly, just because you have a cool building they can go into, make sure your members go in and get out of the heat. Cal OSHA, the occupational safety health people, they say that sitting in a car legally is not considered shade as far as they're concerned for their workplace safety. So don't think that, well, our CERT members can go hang out in their car for a half hour on their break with the AC running. It's better than nothing, but that's not always the best thing to do. In CERT, what do? We do everything in pairs. You buddy everybody up. Use a buddy system. Have your members and remind them, keep an eye on each other. Watch each other for signs and symptoms. Also, in search and rescue work, what we do a lot of times, you might be partnering up with someone who's a diabetic. I know where in his backpack he keeps his insulin. I know where in his backpack or which pants pocket he keeps some hard sugary candy. So if my partner starts acting weird and drops down and collapses, I probably know what's happening to him, I know why, and I know what I can do for him to help him recover. Maybe you work with somebody or you do events with people that have allergies to bee stings or certain pollens, and they carry the little epinephrine auto-ejector pens. So when they get stung by a bee and their throat swells shut in about 30 seconds, if they don't take this device out, slam it through their clothes into their leg to inject a little dose of medicine, they're going to die. One guy I work with, I know where in his backpack he keeps that EpiPen. So if he gets stung by a bee and I see him swatting off a bee and then he starts gasping for breath and falls down, I know why and I know what he carries with him that will save his life. Use the buddy system. Learn who you're working with, because when you're out in the field, it's just the two of you or the three or the four of you that have to rely on each other. Never discount anyone's complaint about the heat. If you've got a member who comes to you and he's bitching and whining about, oh my God, this heat's killing me, this heat's horrible. Yeah, the heat probably could kill him. He's complaining about the heat, probably for a reason. Never discount that. Or maybe you're starting to get lightheaded and you have all the signs, all the dehydration symptoms in yourself. Never think, I'm only going to be out for a couple more hours. If you're in doubt, ask them. How do you feel? Have you been eating today? Have you been drinking today? Have you been taking your breaks? Do you need a break now? Chances are they'll say, no, I don't need a break. Rotate them out. Get them a break. You never want to discount anyone's complaint about the heat, because they're complaining about it for a reason. Because maybe now they're starting to listen to their body screaming for help. So you don't want to discount that and blow them off. Just like our friend at Baker de Vegas, when he started complaining about the heat, we were all complaining about the heat. But when he really started complaining about how bad he felt and how this heat's killing me, that's when we're like, no, you need some more fluids. We're going to bring the medics over to check you out. Because we listened to him. We recognized that he's complaining for a reason. Having a hot weather safety plan, educating your team members, educating your leaders, really does pay off. That same Cal OSHA survey that tried to correlate dehydration and heat injuries to workplace incidents, the job sites that had a hot weather safety plan, the job sites where the team leaders and the managers taught their workers how to take care of themselves in the field, they had far fewer injuries, 37% compared to 63%. So even sitting in a simple lecture like this does help educate you that much more. You're that much smarter than the average bear. It really does pay off. As I said when I first started tonight, when you go out in the field, the most important person is you. You're the most important asset out there for whatever agency you're with. If you're unable to perform your mission, your work, you're of no use to those lost hikers. If I go out in the field looking for a crashed airplane and I can't take care of myself, I certainly can't look for the pilot and passenger of that small single-engine airplane that's sitting behind the mountain ridge crashed, waiting for me to come find them. Always take care of yourself, because someone is probably relying on you. Your first priority is not to the mission. Your first priority is not to the victim. Your first priority is right here. I'm the first priority in everything I do. Again, thank you all. Thank you for spending your evening with us tonight. If you have questions, my email address is on there. Please shoot me an email. I'd love to hear from you.